أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today inshallah we'd like to conclude our discussion on sujood sahw. Today we would like to conclude our discussion on sujood sahw. And we will remember that we said there are two reports we will explain. The first of them is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri regarding ash-shakku fi salah, having doubts in salah. Our first discussions on sujood sahwi were upon clear-cut errors, clear-cut issues of nisyan. Someone forgets, he adds or he reduces from his salah. And we said that on whichever of the sides the person falls, whether he adds to his salah or he reduces something from his salah, from the arkan or from the wajibat, once he does so out of mistake, he can make his sujood sahwi before taslim or after taslim. We said that he's basically allowed to make sujood sahwi before taslim and after taslim. And regarding that, we read four reports. The first was the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also referred to the hadith of Ziyadin. In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed two units of prayer. He made taslim, he stood up to complete the other two for Salatul Asr. He stood up to complete the other two, and he made the sujood sahwi after the taslim. The second was the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn, which is also called the hadith of Khirbak. Khirbak and Zulyadain, they have similar features. Their hands were long. This made some of the scholars to say that it is the same hadith. But there are many things in both of them that show that there are two different reports. The first one was regarding two rak'at. The second one was regarding how many rak'at? Three rak'at. After the first one, the correction was right inside the masjid. In the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had returned to his room before Khirbak went to him. So there are a lot of differences between the hadith of Abu Huraira and the hadith of Imran. In fact, some of the scholars like Al-Hafiz al-Iraqi, sometimes he will say that they are one and the same hadith. Sometimes you say that they are different hadith. But the correct thing is that they are different reports. And the Imam Muslim have reported them differently. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. He only reported the hadith of Abu Huraira. He did not report the hadith of Imran. Radiallahu anhu. On both occasions, the Prophet reviewed his prayer and he made his sujood sahwi ba'da taslim. Then we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reduced his salah by not sitting down for at-sajdatul awwal, at-tashahudul awwal. He did not sit down for at-tashahudul awwal. So he stood up instead of sitting down. And in that salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his sujood sahwi qabla taslim. Ulama say, see now, in the hadith of Abu Huraira, he made sujood sahwi ba'da taslim. In the hadith of Ibn Buhayna, he made the sujood sahwi before taslim. So that they are both allowed. You can make sujood sahwi before, you can make sujood sahwi. The first hadith we read to us was the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made five rak'ahs, and he made his sujood sahwi ba'da taslim. Don't forget that he also added in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, and he made his Sujood al-Sahwi also Ba'dat Taslim. So these four reports show that you can make Sujood al-Sahwi before Taslim. You can make Sujood al-Sahwi after Taslim, whether you have an addition or you have a what reduction. It is basically allowed. And before these four reports, we give a general report, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So, radiyallahu anhu, that man zada fi salatihi aw naqasa fal yasjud sajdatain. So any person who increases or reduces his salah should make two units, two prostrations. It did not specify when, just make two prostrations, whether you increase or reduce. In all these rulings we are mentioning regarding these ahadith, we cited the statements of scholars regarding them. So sujood al-sahwi for addition or reduction is allowed whether before taslim or after taslim. This is the first stage of our discussion. The second stage of our discussion on sujood al-sahwi is that a better thing to do is to make your sujood al-sahwi the way the Prophet made it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you make only two units of prayer and you make taslim out of error, if you want to complete it, it is better for you to make your sujood al-sahwi ba'da taslim, even though it is allowed for you to make your sujood al-sahwi qabla taslim. As is in the hadith of Abu Hurairah and who? Imran ibn Husayn. Likewise, if you make three units of prayer and you make taslim out of error, you said to us that as is in the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn, a better thing to do is that make your own sujood al-sahwi when? After taslim. Likewise, if you reduce your salah by not sitting down for at-tashahud al-awwal, a better thing to do is to make your sujood al-sahwi when? Before taslim, even though it is allowed after taslim. It is better to make it before taslim. And we explained too that if you increase by 5 rakats or you increase salatul fajr by 3 rakats, a better thing to do is to make your sujood al-sahwi after taslim. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salatul asr to be 5 rakats, he made sujood al-sahwi after taslim. So if you make fajr to be 3 rakats, when should you make sujood al-sahwi? After taslim. Even though it is allowed to make that sujood al-sahwi before taslim. I hope that these points are clear. So now we are left with the issue on what? Ash-shak. And on this issue of shak, we have two reports to study about it, to discuss about it. But we chose to start with the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, maybe because Imam Muslim started with it, rahimahullah. We could have started with any of them, but we start with the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. In that hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِ. When any of you doubt in his salah, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلَمْ يَزْرِي كَمْ صَلَّا. The individual doubts in his salah, فَلَا يَزْرِي كَمْ صَلَّا, such that he would not know how many units of prayer he had observed. Salasan am arba'an. Have I made 3 units of prayer or I have made 4 units? That happens, Tabi. A person will be observing salah. He starts doubting. This is my salah. Maybe salatul fajr. Is it 2 units or 1? This is my first rakah or this is my second rakah? It happens a lot. Especially in this, our own day of social media. The minds are preoccupied with those things on the social media. That is the blunt truth. Many of the young people, brothers and the sisters, the minds are preoccupied. And more unfortunately, in these periods of elections, the minds are preoccupied with what the people are involved in. So people come into salah with these preoccupations. So they will observe 2 units of prayer and they start doubting whether it is 1 or 2. They will observe 3 units of prayer and they start doubting whether it is 3 or 4. They will observe 4 units of prayer and they'll be thinking whether it is what, 4 or 5. May Allah protect all of us. Each of us should pay attention to his mind. Nobody will do it for you. When this individual begins to doubt, فَلَمْ يَدْرِي كَمْ صَلَّى صَلَاةً أَنْ أَرْبَعًا, he begins to doubt whether it is 3 or 4 that he has observed. فَلْيَسْرَحِ الشَّكِ, he is doubting whether it is 3 or 4. فَلْيَسْرَحِ الشَّكِ. What is the shak here? The shak is 4. He is doubting whether it is 3 or 4. Which one has the doubt? 4. Meaning that he is starting to have made 3, but he does not know whether he has made 4. If it is Fajr, he is in doubt whether he has made 2 or 3. فَلْيَسْرَحِ الشَّكْ. What is the shak? 3. Because he is sure that he has made 2. What he does not know is, have I made the extra? If he is thinking, is it 4 or 5? فَلْيَسْرَحِ الشَّكْ. Let him leave that number 5. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلْيَبْنِ عَلَى مَسْتَيْقَنَا. لِيَبْنِ عَلَى مَسْتَيْقَنَا. Let him build upon that one that is sure. So if he is thinking whether it is 2 or 3, which one will he build upon? 2. If he is thinking whether it is 3 or 4, which one will he build upon? 3. If he is thinking whether it is 4 or 5, which one will he build upon? 4. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلْيَبْنِ عَلَى مَسْتَيْقَنَا. Let him build continuously, observe his salah, depending upon the one that is sure. So mayat the sajda saying, let him build upon what is sure. Meaning that if he is doubting, is it 1 or 2? And if he's salatul fajr, what will his bina'u be? His bina'u be is that he will stand up again and observe the second rak'ah. If it is salatul zuhur, he is thinking whether it is 3 or 4. What will his bina'u be? He will stand up for a 4th rak'ah. Do we understand? If it is salatul maghrib, he is doubting whether it is 3 or 4. What will his bina'u be? He will take it to the 3. So what will he do? He will make his tasleem. If it is salatul maghrib. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلْيَبْنِ عَلَىٰ مَسْتَيْقَنَا ثُمَّ يَسْجُدُ سَجْدَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمَ. He should build upon what he is sure of and make 2 units of prostration. قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمَ. قَبْلَ التَسْلِيمِ. Before he says his tasleem. If he is in doubt, is it 3 or 4? He will build it on 3. If it's a Salatul Zuhur or Asr or Isha, he will build it on 3, stand up to make an additional rak'ah, and then he will make his sujood sahwi when? Qabla tasleem. If it is Salatul Fajr, he is thinking whether it is 2 or 3. What will he take? He will take it to be 2. And then what will he do? He will make sujood sahwi before he now makes his tasleem. If it is Salatul Maghrib, he is thinking whether it is 3 or 4. What will he do? He will depend it on what? On 3. Then he will make his sujood sahwi qabla tasleem. Don't forget, when he is in doubt, he is not sure, is it 3 or 4? He has no knowledge. He cannot say which one is more preponderant in his mind. Which one is stronger in my mind? I don't know. Is it 3 or 4? Just take it to the 3. And then you build upon it depending on the salah that you are performing, whether Maghrib or Isha. If it is 1 or 2, depending on the salah you are performing, build upon the lesser number that you are sure of. It is the greater number that you are not sure of. So you build upon it, and then you make your sujood sahwi when? Qabla taslim. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى خَمْسًا. If that build upon is now the 5th rak'ah, truly, do we understand? فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى خَمْسًا أَوْ فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى صَلَاةً. If it is Salatul Fajr, you are doubting whether it is two or three. And then you take it to the two. Then you make your sujood sahwi qabla taslim. The Prophet is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it happens that you have actually made three, if it is salatul zuhr, you are in doubt whether it is three or four. So you took it to be three. And you made one more rak'at. You know that it will be four or five. Do we understand? If it is salatul maghrib, you are doubting whether it is three or two or three. You take it to be two. If you are in doubt whether it is three or I'm adding. Am I adding this extra rak'ah or not? Take it to the three. So you stop there. You make a sujood start before tafsir. So let's take a case like the Prophet took, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A four-unit prayer, Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha. You are in doubt whether it is three or four. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيَبْنِ عَلَىٰ مَسْتَيْقَنَا. Build your salah upon that which is sure, out of the two views. The one that is sure is that you are upon three rak'ahs. So make one more rak'ah. This additional rak'ah, it is still possible that it is your fourth rak'ah or it is your fifth rak'ah. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى خَمْسًا شَفَعْنَ لَهُ صَلَاتًا. If it now happens that that extra rak'ah that you have added is your fifth rak'ah, شَفَعْنَ لَهُ صَلَاتَهُ. Those two prostrations will make your salah to be even again. Do you understand? Your salah will not be odd. Yes, you have two five times. But that sujood sahwi that you make before taslim will make your salah to become even. It will not be that you will be making zuhr to be five rak'ahs, which is odd. The sujood sahwi that you make, you know, for every rak'ah you would have made two sajdas, cool? So the sujood sahwi that you make at the end of the fifth rak'ah, if it is the fifth rak'ah, they will make your salah become even. Your salah will not be odd. Do we understand this point? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى خَمْسًا. If he has now truly performed five rak'ahs, شَفَعْنَا لَهُ, both your sajdat al-sahwi, the two of them, will make your salah to be shaf'a and not weak. Your salah will be even and not odd. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى إِتْمَامًا. When it happens that, yes, that fourth rak'ah, the extra rak'ah you are adding, you are adding it by way of fully completing your salah. You took it to the three, Abi. It means that if that extra rak'ah is truly four that you are performing to complete your salah, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kanata targhiman lishaytan. The two sujood sahwi will be what? Targhim for shaytan. That is a way of disgracing shaytan. If it was five rak'ah that you completely make, no problem. The two sujood sahwi will make your salah to be even. So you have not lost. And if it is actually four rak'ahs gagan that you have fully observed, then you have disgraced shaitan by making those two sujood sahwi. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned that he said that sujood sahwi, sajda sahwi, muragimatein li shaitan. He used to refer to sajda sahwi as what? Muragimatein. Another name for sujood sahwi, or sajda sahwi, is what? Muragimatein. The two things with which you disgrace, the two things by which you bring disgrace, to who? To shaitan, who has caused you to forget and become doubtful in your salah. So it means all those thoughts of football, all those thoughts of politics, those thoughts of chats with your family, all those things that you think about in salah. Who brought them to us? Shaitan. So when it becomes very strong, people become funny in the salah, and then they mix up salah, becoming doubtful in salah. So when they make sujood the sahwi, kana tarjiman lish shaitan, it becomes a means of disgrace for shaitan. So we would not have lost anything. So the way we handle doubt that we cannot, that you can't say, oh, I think it's more probable that I have made three, that is, no. I don't know whether it's three or four. You can't say which one is stronger in your mind. Just take the lesser one. Complete your salah upon it. Make sujood sahwi before you make a this hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. It also occurs in the books of Sunan, Sunan al-Nasa'i. Imam Abu Dawud also reported the hadith. I hope that the hadith is clear. There's a similar hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas that Al-Imam Abu Dawud has reported. And also a similar hadith from Zayd ibn Aslam, Mursalan, and Muwaffa ibn Malik. Even though the scholars employ the hadith of Abu Sa'id to affirm that Mursal is sahih here. Because this is Mursal in Sahih. So they make taqwiyah of that Mursal with this hadith of Abu Sa'id ibn al-Khidr. Their meanings are completely perfect. So the Irsal in the hadith of Zayd ibn Aslam is checking with this wasil in the hadith of Abu Sa'id ibn al-Khidr. The point is that if we are in doubt whether it is two or three, whether it is three or four, whether it is four or five, take what you are sure of. Leave that one that you are not sure of. Build your salah accordingly, according to what you have chosen to be sure. Then make your sujood sahwi before you make your tasbih. I hope that point is clear, inshallah. I have an attitude not to just say, that is what that hadith means, and proceed. Because many times you wouldn't know whether you are right or wrong. So let's read what the ulama say in explanation of that hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Munzir in his book Al-Awsat, he says, فَإِذَا شَكَّ الْمُصَلِّي فِي صَلَاتِ إِذَا شَكَّ الْمُصَلِّي فِي صَلَاتِهِ. When the person observing salah becomes doubtful in his salah, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ تَحَرِّنْ, and he does not have any means of verification. He does not have any kind of verification at all. He's just in doubt. Is it three or four? لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ تَحَرِّنْ. He does not have anything that is weighty in his mind. If you were asked, which one is weightier in your mind? Is it three or four? I don't know. He's just in that three or four. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ تَحَرِّي. He says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, وَلَمْ يَمِنْ قَلْبُهُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِ الْعَدَدَيْنِ. And his قلب, his mind is not inclined إِلَىٰ أَحَدِ الْعَدَدَيْنِ towards any of the two numbers, whether it is three or four. His mind is not inclined towards any one of them. فَإِنَّهُ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ مَسْتَيْقَنَا. This kind of an individual will give consideration to what is sure of. Annahu salla, that he has performed. فَيَحْتَفِلُ بِهِ. So he will debate, he will make his consideration go upon that thing that he's sure about. وَيُلْقِ الشَّكَّ. He will remove that additional one that he's not sure about. وَيَبْنِ عَلَى الْيَكِينِ. He will now base his salah upon that one that he's sure about. وَيَسْجُدُ سَجْدَةً سَحْوِي قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ. Then he will make two such that is sahwi when? Before tasbih. This statement is in his book Al-Awsat, the third volume, page 473. If we are making salah to subhi and we are thinking whether we have made one rak'ah or two rak'ahs, what are we going to choose? We are going to choose that we have made one rak'ah. What does that mean? We will add additional one rak'ah. Then at the time of tahiyya, before we make tasleem, we'll make two sujood sahwi, and then we'll make tasleem. This is what they are. You are not sure. Is it three or four? We make two sujood sahwi, make tasleem. So that is what Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir also deduced from the hadith, and many others amongst the scholars of hadith, even from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is also the view of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar, Rabi'a ibn Abi Abd al-Rahman. That's also the position of Al-Imam Malik, Imam al-Shafi, Imam al-Awza'i, Fiyan al-Thawli, and others amongst the scholars. They say that if we are in doubt about two numbers, the mind is not inclined to any one of the two. What do? We leave the earlier one, the bigger one, and take to that one that we are sure. Because you can't be doubting whether you have performed three or four, except that you are sure that you have made three, but you are not sure that you have made four. That is what it means. If you are in doubt whether you have made two or three, you are sure to have made two, but you are not sure of the third one. So it says, فَلْيَفْرَحِ الشَّكْ. Throw that extra one aside. Build your salah upon that one that you are sure of. But before you make your taslim, make your sujood sahih, and then you make your taslim. This hadith of Abu Sa'id, and that of Ibn Abbas, the hadith of Abu Sa'id is in Sahih Muslim, hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Sunan Abi Dawud, and in other books of hadith. I hope that this point is clear. The second hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. The hadith has a story. But let's leave that story aside so that our points will not be missing out as we try to explain that story. That hadith is also in Sahih Muslim. In it, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِ. When any of you becomes doubtful in his salah, فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. If the individual is doubtful in his salah, have I made three or four? Have I made two or three? Have I made one or two? فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. Let him make effort to determine which one is correct. For example, let me tell you the kind of effort you can make. We always make al-ajnu wal-i'timad al-arj in the nuhud li-rak'at al-thalitha or li-rak'at al-thaniya. We always make al-ajnu if you want to stand up for the second rak'ah and the fourth rak'ah. Sometimes we know in our mind that I have made this i'timad now, this jalsatul istiraha first. I told jalsatul istiraha I made. I've only made jalsatul istiraha once in this salah. So if you are doubting whether it is three or four, what will that tell you? The fact that you have made jalsatul istiraha once, what will that tell you? This is the third rak'ah. Why? Because I've only made jalsatul istiraha once. Have not made a second jalsat in istiraha. Or you are in doubt whether it is two or three. You are performing salah to do or ask. You are doubting whether it is two or three. You can say, oh, I have not made a tashahud in this salah at all. So what is that rak'ah? Two. So you can do some sort of thinking. You can search for indicators in your mind to know which one is most likely. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you are in salah, you are doubtful, فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. Make effort to know what is correct. In other riwayat of this hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الَّذِي يَرَى أَنَّهُ الصَّوَابِ. Let him try to think out which of them, what is it that he considers correct? It happens in salah. You'll be doubting which one. Have I made three or four? Have I made two or three? Then you start thinking. It's most likely, once you can say that it's most likely to be three, then you build upon that three. Once you can say it's most likely to be four, then you build on the four. If you cannot say whether it is most likely anything, it's either still three or four, where will you make your sujood sahwi? Qabla at-taslim. But if you can say it is most likely 3, or it is most likely 4, you build upon your salah, and then you make your sujood sahwi after tasbih. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. When any of you is in doubt regarding his salah, let him try to determine what is correct. فَلْيُتِمَّ عَلَيْهِ. And then complete his salah depending on that determination that he has made. You know, he tried to make some effort to determine which one is correct. And his mind is inclined, I think I have made 3. Oh, I think most probably. Once you can say, most probably I have made 2 or 3, that is what you should depend upon. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ لِمُسَلِّمْ. Then he should make tasleem. ثُمَّ يَسْلِمْ سَجْدَتَيْهِ. After those tasleem, يَسْلِمْ سَجْدَتَيْهِ. He should now make those 2 prostrations to do this after tasleem. How then does he determine when he is in shock? How does he determine when to make sujood sahwi qabla tasleem and when to make sujood sahwi ba'da tasleem? I'm asking us. When there is preponderance of 1 rak'ah, it is in doubt, 3 or 4. Preponderance is big grammar. When it is weightier in his mind, he should make sujood sahwi ba'da tasleem. When it is equal in his mind, he cannot say that one is most probable than the other. No one is weightier in his mind. His mind is not inclined to any of them. Then he should pick the lesser one, complete his salah depending on it, and make his sujood sahwi qabla tasleem. So when there is preponderance, like he spoke, when there is preponderance, sujood sahwi is when? Ba'da tasleem. When there is no preponderance, sujood sahwi is when? Qabla tasleem. Do we get this point? Somebody is observing salatul fajr after the first 2 rak'ahs. He starts to think that, do I need to stand up? Is it 1 or 2 that I have observed? Then he says, I have sat down for jalsatul istiraha. So since I have sat down for jalsatul istiraha, this rak'ah is necessarily my 2nd rak'ah. You know, if he's standing from the 1st rak'ah to the 2nd rak'ah, he will see jalsatul istiraha. So he remembers that I have sat down jalsatul istiraha. His mind will now be that. That one, that sitting is upon the 2nd rak'ah. So he will make tasleem, then he will make sujood sahwi when? Ba'da tasleem. But if he cannot even think anything, did I make sujood sahwi? Did I make jalsa to istiraha? Did I, what rak'ah am I? I'm making fajr. Is this the 3rd or 2nd? So he should take it as the 2nd rak'ah. But he is going to make sujood sahwi when? Qabla tasleem. I hope that is clear. Which person's hadith reports qabla tasleem? The hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Which person's hadith reports ba'da tasleem? The hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Likewise, as we did, we read to us the statement of Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir in his book Al-Awsat. Somebody can ask, why Ibn al-Munzir alone? Because he is amongst the fuqaha al-muhaddithin, from amongst the big scholars of hadith who combine very well a good knowledge of the fiqh and who give their position strictly based on ahadith. If you go through his book, Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir, he will tell you the views of the scholars. He will report them with their asanid. And he will be telling you that this one is wrong because it contradicts this hadith. This one is correct because it is in conformance with this hadith. And that is what we are going to do. And that is the position we should take. And that is the correct thing. He will be giving you these kinds of affirmation. So it means it is his positions are always closer to the source of hadithia. He is not from the people of Ra'i. And he's a big scholar of hadith. Throughout the book. And that's why he titled his book Al-Awsatu fi Sunan wal Ijma. If there's Ijma, he will tell you. Not just that he will tell you, he will give you the after needs. The statement those scholars between himself and those among the scholars who have cited consensus, he will give you the link so you can verify the after needs, whether the ijma is sahih, up to the person who was mentioned to have cited an ijma. And where there's khilaf, he will give you those positions with their isnad. The other time we said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Salim, all of these, if you go to his book Al-Awsaf, you will see the isnad of the statement of Ibn Mas'ud that shows that that is hijr. You will see the isnad of the statement of Rabi'a ibn Abi Abdurrahman that shows that that is hijr. He will not just say so person said. So he depended largely on asanid for his view. And when he's rejecting a view, he's rejecting it because it is far away from a hadith that is authentic. Very, very important. I give us one example. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that has the meaning of the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Do we remember that I mentioned that? I said that that hadith is the hadith of Zayd ibn Aslam. Zayd ibn Aslam is a tabi'i. Because Zayd ibn Aslam is Mawla Umar radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn Aslam. He's from among those from whom Al-Imam Malik collected hadith in Muwaffa. He is tabi'i. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something. Ordinarily, that kind of a hadith should be weak. But Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir, after him, Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah, in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, he says that the hadith is authentic. So some people can say Al-Albani has come again. How will he say a hadith that is mursal from Zayd ibn Aslam is Sahih? Because the hukm al-am for ahadith al-mursala is not da'if. Because there is still a link. He has not mentioned the companion. From which companion did he hear that statement? Until we know that companion. Because it is possible that you didn't even hear it from a companion. You heard it from another person who heard from a companion. So it's not must be clear. We have labud min ittisalistan. So there are a lot of question marks on every hadith that is mursal. But here we are, the scholars say that the hadith mursal is sahih. If you go to Muwatta, it's Zayd ibn Aslam, Yakulu Kala Rasulullah, Waktama Salla Lana Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did so. Zayd ibn Aslam is tabi, he was not there. So how do you say the hadith is sahih? Al Imam ibn al Munzir Rahimahullah, he says the hadith of Abu Sa'id al Khudri, that one no problem because it is in Sahih Muslim code. He says that hadith is sahih. He said, وَهَكَذَا likewise the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, likewise the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas is mursal. So that shows that it is not just al-albay. Dear brother, knowledge is like a seal. What makes you know that al-albani rahimahullah had graded a hadith mursal to be sahih when hadith mursal should be da'if? What makes you think like that? It's some sort of a knowledge. So shouldn't you also think that because of some sort of a knowledge, Al-Albani rahimahullah should have known that this hadith should be sahih, da'if. Yet he says that it is sahih. Some sort of a knowledge should tell you that. The hadith mursal da'if, Sheikh should know that hadith mursal is da'if. Some knowledge make you say that. Some knowledge too should make you think that if he is saying that hadith mursal is sahih, then there must be a reason. So a talibul ilmi that is not lazy will not look for that reason. Why did Sheikh al-Albani say that hadith mursal is sahih? There must be a reason. Find that reason, you will see it. So when long ago, in the 3rd century, Ibn al-Munzir said, rahimahullah, that the hadith is sahih. This same hadith that Sheikh al-Albani wrote. So but somebody out of ignorance and hatred for the Imam, rahimahullah, who said, no, why did he say that? It means that that is knowledge that makes him know that still has some sort of ignorance inside it. May Allah forgive all of us. So that hadith is sahih. And Imam Ibn al-Munzir, we are always citing his statement because his deductions are likely hadith-based deductions. Rahimahullah. And Allah has not created any human being who does not make mistakes. So regarding the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Al-Imam ibn al-Munzir said, Rahimahullah, he died in the early 3rd century, I think 318. Ibn al-Munzir passed away 318. He said, Rahimahullah, فَإِذَا شَكَّ الْمُصَلِّي فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَلَهُ تَحَرِّنْ. When the praying person now doubts in his salah, وَلَهُ تَحَرِّنْ. But he has some sort of intellectual efforts to say, oh, it's most likely that 3 is correct, not 4. It's most likely that 2 is correct, not 3. He has an opinion of his thought. After some consideration of his salah, I think most likely I have made 3, not 4. Or I have made 4, not 3. He can say something is weighty in his mind. He said, Rahimahullah, فَإِذَا شَكَّ الْمُصَلِّي فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَلَهُ تَحَرِّنْ. If the praying person becomes doubtful in his salah, and he has some sort of a preponderance in his salah, he said, Rahimahullah, وَالتَّحَرِّي. التَّحَرِّي that the messenger mentioned, عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَنْ يَمِيلَ قَلْبُهُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِ الْعَدَدَيْنِ, that his mind should be inclined towards one of the two numbers. His mind is inclined towards one of the two. Is it 3 or 4? His mind is inclined towards one of them. He says, Rahimahullah, وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ اِسْتِعْمَالُ حَدِيثِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنِ مَسْعُودِ. It becomes obligatory on him to employ which hadith? The hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. What will he do? He will complete his salah and make sujood the sahwi when? Ba'da at-taslim. He says, what he will do is that, يَبْنِي عَلَى الْعَدَدِ الَّذِي مَالَ إِلَيْهِ قَلْبُهُ. He will build upon the number that his mind is inclined towards. وَيَسْجُدُ سَجْدَةَ السَّهْوِ بَعْدَ السَّلَامِ. Then he will make the two prostrations of forgetfulness after salam. Ala ma fi hadithi Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. As is reported or as it occurs in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I hope that this point is clear. Al-Imam ibn Hibban mentions something similar to that in Sahih ibn Hibban. If we want to read his statement, it will take our time. Was why I didn't write it, I brought the book. Perhaps we may need to read it, but I don't think it is necessary for us to read. It appears clear. If a person has preponderance between one number over the other, is it 3 or 4? It's most likely 4, Jari. Complete your salah. Make sujood the sahwi when? Ba'da at-taslim. If you are not sure at all, your mind is not inclined to any of the numbers, choose the one that is lesser or surer out of the two. If it's 3 or 4, choose 3, complete your salah, and make sujood the sahwi when? Qabla at-taslim. That is how to handle ash-shakku in salah. I hope that is clear. How to handle shak is clear. How to handle nisyan, full nisyan, is also clear. Ko? Alhamdulillah. We come back to our text, Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya. Al-Imam al-Shawkani said, Babu sujood al-sahwi, the chapter regarding sujood al-sahwi. He said, Rahimahullah, وَهُوَ سَجْدَتَانِ قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ أَوْ بَعْدَهُ. Sujood al-Sahwi includes or involves two prostrations, قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ. These two prostrations can be before taslim or when, or after taslim. We have explained it, cool? It means sujood al-Sahwi cannot be one taslim. It also means sujood al-Sahwi cannot be what? 3 taslimat. It cannot be 1 sajda. And it cannot be how many? 3 sajda. It cannot. It's either 2 or 2 or 2. Not 1 or 3. It's either 2. It cannot be any other than 2. It says, وَهُوَ سَجْدَتَانِ قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ أَوْ بَعْدَهُ. We have seen that some sujood al-sahwi قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ, some بَعْدَ التَّسْلِيمِ. And we have explained the details involved in that. It says, وَدِ إِحْرَامٍ. Sujood al-Sahwi includes Takbiratul Ihram. We proved to us in the last class that Sujood al-Sahwi does not involve takbiratul ihram. Just made Allahu Akbar and go on the sujood. It does not mean coming back newly into the salah. The hadith of Zulyadain that Shawkani employed rahimahullah to prove this point, we mentioned it to us that it does not include what he thought was involved. But we mentioned the statement of scholars to us. He says rahimahullah, what a shahudi. He says after sujood al-sahwi, Shawkani says rahimahullah, what a shahudi, usumit tashahud. But we said to us that that is also wrong. The hadith that was depended on for that is a weak report. We mentioned that it's also in our last class. وَتَحْلِيلٍ after sujood al-sahwi, we should make taslim quote. Whether that sujood al-sahwi is qabliyah or what? Ba'diyah. We should make a taslim after the two sajdas. We have read a lot of ahadith. All the ahadith we read, the sujood al-sahwi comes before taslim, such that after the two of them, you make your taslim and go out of the salah if it is sujood al-sahwi al-ba'di. Or that it is sujood al-sahwi al-qabli, or that it is sujood al-sahwi al-ba'di, then after your two sujoods, you make taslim. I hope that these points are clear. He said, rahimahullah, wa yushra'u li tarki masnuni. It is also legislated for us. It is part of the sharia to make sujood al-sahwi if we leave behind a sunnah in salah. Somebody is supposed to read aloud. Abal Imam, Salatul Maghrib. You are supposed to read aloud and he mistakenly reads it silently. Out of mistake. That is also sahw. That sahw requires sajdat as-sahw. Another sunnah of salah is raful yadayn. Inda kulli khafdin wa raf'in. Each time you are standing up, coming up, going down, raising the hand. If you intend to raise your hand in every place, as it is established in ahadith when we read those parts, it is established that everywhere there is raful yadayn. If you stand up, raful yadayn, you go for ruku, raful yadayn, raising the two hands. You stand up from ruku, you can raise the two hands. You are going for sujood, raise the two hands. You want to sit down, for al-julus bayna sajdatayn, you can also raise your hand. You want to go back to sujood again, you can raise your hand again and go to sujood. You want to come up again for your second rak'ah, you can raise your hand again. You can raise your hand every time you come up or go down. You change position, you raise your hand. It is sunnah to do that. So you got determined to do that and then you forgot. It is sahw. That is what Al-Imam Shawkani says. But if you did it deliberately, this salah, after my takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, I no go raise my hand again. So they say Allahu Akbar, for ruku, you go on ruku. Tell me Allah, Al-Iman Aminda, you stood up without raising your hand. It is not sahu, and it does not deserve what? Sujood sahu. The only thing is that your reward in that salah is coming down. Likewise, dua al-istiftah. We said that some of the scholars hold the view, and that is the position of the jumhur, that it is sunnah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell the people to do it. As it is in the hadith of Abu Huraira in Bukhari and Muslim. They were the ones who observed that he was doing it and they asked him about it. If it were obligatory, he would have told them to do it. That is what the jumhur say. But in the hadith of Musi Salatahu, or Musi Salatihi, in that hadith, he was ordered to make tasbih and takbir and tahmid. So others amongst the scholars say it means that even dua al-istiftah is wajib. Some among the ulama have that view. We discussed it then too. So if you have the view that it is mustahab, if you leave it deliberately, you must make sujood al-sahwi. If you leave it deliberately, you don't need to make sujood al-sahwi. Ma'azirat. If you leave dua al-istiftah deliberately upon your understanding that it is sunnah, if you leave it deliberately, no sujood al-sahwi. But if you leave it out of forgetfulness, there is hudusa. I hope that the point is clear. And the hadith upon which scholars base that view is the hadith of Tawbana from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, لِكُلِّ سَحْوٍ سَجِدَتَانِ لِكُلِّ سَحْوٍ سَجِدَتَانِ. For every error, there are two prostrations for you to make. That hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad. And many scholars have mentioned the hadith sahih. Like Al-Imam Al-Allai, Imam Al-Shawkani, Imam Al-San'ani, Shaykh Al-Albani, many others. لِكُلِّ سَحْوٍ سَجِدَتَانِ. For every error you commit in salah, you have two sajdas to make. And so means a sunnah that you have intended to do out of error is an error. It also requires what? Sajdatan. I hope that the point is clear. So that's why Imam Shawkani said, وَيُشْرَعُ لِتَرْكِ مَسْنُونٍ. Sujudu sahwi is also lawful if you omit something that is sunnah in salah. وَلِزِّيَادَةِ. Likewise, if you add something to salah, you make sujood sahwi. Should I give us one example we may not be thinking about? Somebody raises his hand twice out of error. That is the other thing, he must know him. He raises up his hand. He wants to go down for ruku or sujood. He raises his hand twice out of forgetfulness. That is the other. At the end of salah, you should make what? Sujood sahwi. He said, while it's the other. Likewise, if you increase something in salah there, sujood sahwi, whether that thing is sunnah, or that thing is wajib, or that thing is from the arkan of salah. I hope that it is clear. He says, walau raka'atan. Even if the increment is an entire rak'ah, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed 5 rak'ah, he increased an entire rak'ah, he makes sujood sahwi also regarding that. If a person performs a 2-unit prayer as 3 units, when will he make his sujood sahwi? Ba'd at-taslim. What if he makes it before taslim? Jai. But if he makes it ba'd at-taslim, afdal. Hope that it is clear, inshallah. He says, walau rak'atan sahwan. Even if it were a rak'ah that he added out of error. He says also, walishakki fil adad. Sujood sahwi is also established if it is shak. How is it established if it is shak? If there is preponderance, weightiness of one over the other, what do? You make your sujood sahwi ba'da taslim. If there is no preponderance, you are just in doubt. I don't know. Is it 2 or 3? I don't know. I don't just know whether it is 2 or 3. Make your sujood sahwi when? Qabla taslim. Likewise, he says, rahimahullah, wa iza sajada al-imam taba'ahu al-mu'tam. Iza sajada al-imam taba'ahu al-mu'tam. When the imam makes sujood sahwi, all those who observe that salah behind the imam must do what? They must make sujood sahwi. What is the evidence for it? What? Doctor said, innama ju'ila al-imam li'utamma bihi. It is correct though, but it is far away. I want something closer. All the ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sujood sahwi, the companions followed him and made sujood sahwi. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the hadith of Zulyadin, when the Prophet went back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did the people do? He went back with him and he made sujood sahwi. What did they do? They made sujood sahwi. In all the ahadith, they made sujood sahwi with him. Nobody stood up and said, I'm not doing my own with that. Me, I no go make. The companions were not like that. So you should not be like that too. So that's why Imam Shawkani says, rahimahullah, wa iza sajada al-imamu taba'ahu al-mu'tamu. Don't forget also, from the proofs for that is that innama ju'ila al-imam li'utamma bihi. Fa iza sajada fasjudu. So when you make sujud too. Don't make mukhalafa of your imam. I think this will end this bab of sujood as-sahwi. And I hope that it is well understood. Many times it becomes confusing to our brothers and to women too. I hope that with these classes on it, Allah would have used it to remove that confusion from all of us, inshallah. May Allah forgive all of us our errors in salah. So let's not forget, we must pay attention to salah. We must pay attention to al-khushu' fi salah, being conscious in your salah. You should not pray as if, let me just pray to Allah. Don't do that. When some of the scholars explain the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut that تُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And then he said what? Allah said what? وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. They say ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَكْبَرُ. A better thing is that make sure that that salah is not a salah that you are observing without remembering Allah inside it. You should ensure that Shaitan does not overcome us in salah to make us forget or to make us doubt what we do in salah. We must pay good attention to our salah. Even though no matter how good your attention is, you must forget. You must doubt. Maybe we'll have any of us here who has never doubted in his salah. Do we have anyone who's ever observed salah and never doubted in his salah? He never has to make to do the salah. Do we have? We don't have. And we can never have. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about that. In fact, while saying that in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the second hadith we read to us, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ أَنْسَى كَمَا تَبْتَوْا. I'm a man like you. I forget as you forget. It means from the aspect of our being human beings is that we will do what? We'll forget. But let's not make it now harder. Because a person who forgets too much becomes a garfin. Upon him. It's because he's forgetting. So you cannot say, an enemy. But I can't hear man that they need. You will hear what people will say, be root here, one. So it is from being a human being to forget. But it is from the evil things a human being will do to become known for them. Kumani enu. Yoruba. They can have 10 ways to abuse somebody who did one thing. Kumani enu. Yoruba. They abuse people too much. And if you don't forget, you say, a Germany. A Germany. There is nothing people don't abuse people about. I always repeat this. Don't make your life a function of what people say. Just ensure that you are doing the right thing. Live your life as a person. But what you do in life is, when I did that yesterday, what did they say? That is what is controlling you. Don't be like that. Be yourself. Do what you see right in every circumstance. But be ready to face the consequences of your decision. That is part of being a man too, or a woman. If you take that decision without due consideration, whatever happens now, you start on your own. So we should learn that one too. It will make you be more careful when you take those decisions. This decision, if I take it, this will happen. So you be careful. You consider your steps more. But the person who is listening to people's comments, people's comments determine his decision. Oh, that one, the wind of the environment will be blowing him up and down, left, right, center. He's not a person, he has no personality. And dear brother, the large majority of human beings, this is the class that they belong to. The large majority of human beings, this is their class. You don't join that class. If you think you are here, try to get out of that class. The class of people that people come to, they say, hey, go take 1,000, they will shout, oh, hey. Another party comes again. Hey, they gave me 1,000. They start shouting, Gauga. You know what is Gauga? Gusa Usay. You know what is Gusa Usay? Panti Tiagbara Koye Gusa Usay. Panti Agbara. Don't be that. That is the best that the torrents of flood carry around. Waterproof, nylon bag. Don't be that. Pangolo and so forgetting yourself can bring somebody to that. May Allah protect all of us. We think we should stop here to do this time. Our next discuss, inshallah, will be on Babu Qada Ilim Fawaid. How do you pay back salah that you miss? If you miss salah, how do you pay it back? And the Iznillah, after that, we come into Babu Salatul Jum'ah. The rulings on Salatul Jum'ah. Very important. Salatul Jum'ah. Many times people go to Jum'ah and destroy their Jum'ah before they leave. So we must learn the rulings of Jum'ah. Sometimes the Imams too, who are leading the Jum'ah, they don't know the Ahkam of Jum'ah. Khatib. He does not know the ahkam of Salatul Jum'ah. So he will do something on the members. What you are doing contradicts the ahkam of Jum'ah. You see some brother with a good intention, they will bring all their children, carry one boy in one hand, carry another boy, carry one in another. He's going for Salatul Jum'ah. You may end up destroying your Jum'ah. Because once you sit down with those boys in the Jum'ah, when the Imam is making khutbah, one boy, Ya'bas, you do one for it, small boy. You do one. You say, wait, come here, sit down, see. You are destroying your Jum'ah. With an intention to do good, but you are doing something that is bad. Thinking that you are doing something that is good. So Ahkamul Jum'ah requires good education and enlightenment. Bismillah, after we complete the discussions on how to pay back Salah, we will come back on the discussions on Salatul Jum'ah. Inshallah. We stop here today. We will laugh. I mean, once for the rest of the life. Today, I will not take your question. Abu Abdullah, I know that you will be the first person to say salam. How will someone that has missed some raka'ahs before joining the congregation makes sujood sahwi when the imam has made a mistake in the salah? Will the person follow the imam in making sujood sahwi before completing his salah? It depends on how the imam makes the sujood sahwi. If it's the sujood sahwi al-ba'di, you should make it together with him before you stand up. If it is sujood sahwi al-qabli, such that when the imam... If it is sujood sahwi al-qabli, you make your sujood sahwi with him before you stand up. But if it is sujood sahwi al-ba'di, such that, as the imam says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you stand up. If you stand up, just don't forget that after your salah, you should make your own sujood sahwi. I hope that point is clear, alaikum salam. No, I didn't say that. If the imam stands up on the fifth rak'ah and the jama'ah, they are saying subhanallah, subhanallah, he should not come, no. It is regarding the first tashahud. If he misses the first tashahud, instead of sitting down after the second rak'ah, he stands up, as is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna. instead of sitting down for the first tashahud, he stood up. If they say subhanallah till next tomorrow, he should not come back and sit down. Because when they did that to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the riwayah of Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah of that hadith, he said, "You are making tasbih," the Prophet did not answer them. He went on for the third rak'ah. But if it is for the fifth rak'ah, if they are saying subhanallah, subhanallah, the Imam must come back to sit down. If he does not sit down, they should not follow him. If they are sure that that is the fifth rak'ah. We explain that to you when we discuss. Is this clear to you? Now ask your question. Yes, they can tell him to sit down. If they say subhanallah, subhanallah, he doesn't hear, understand that, or he understands and refuses, we can tell him, Imamu, Ejoko. We have discussed this here. It is from that same hadith, the hadith of Zuliyadeh. Now, you should not come down. You should not come down. You should not answer him. You should continue. I hope that this question, these questions are clear. He's saying that if the Imam observes first two rak'ahs, instead of sitting down for a salah like Asr or Zuhr, instead of sitting down for the first tashahud, he stood up. So people started saying, subhanallah, subhanallah. We said that the Imam should not come back. He should remain there, continue his salah, because that was what the Messenger did, alayhi salam. Cool? So he's now asking, if someone from among the people say, Limamu ejoko okutaya koko, what should the Imam do? Say the Imam should still not answer them. He should continue. They should follow the Imam and stand up. But there is something here that we should know. It means that our Imams must be teaching people these matters. It's not something for Imams alone to know. It is something that both Imam and the Mu'tamun should know. So our mosque should not be Imam just come pray and go away. When we were younger than this, there was one Imam we used to call like that. You do not have anything with you. You just come pray. Salam alaikum, you are gone. So we used to say, Atakum yu alimukum dinakum. Don't be that kind of an Imam. Be an Imam who will be teaching his people. He will teach them Tawheed, he will teach them Salah. He will teach them Tawheed, he will teach them Salah. Last week, Thursday, I was in a garden. Big people there. So we observe Salah to Isha. They say, Maram, can you please talk to us? I was thinking, what should I tell you? That both rich and poor will benefit. Last Thursday. So I said, all of us, as children, the first thing we always learn in the masjid is Ameen. Do you know that? When they bring us to the masjid, when we are small kids, what is the first thing we learn in Salah? Ameen. So we always wait for it. So when the Imam says, Ghayri maghdubi alayhim wala dhalin, you hear the children's voice, they'll be shouting, Ameen. So I ask them, that Ameen that we say, what should we say before Ameen? You were wondering. I said, we all should read Surah Al-Fatiha. Then we discuss the rulings regarding Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah for Imam, for Munfarid, for Musafir, for everybody. At the end of the Salah, at the end of the discussion, somebody said, I wish I had this thing long ago. Me, I don't need to say anything. Don't say it. So Imam said, Allahu Akbar, he's dumb, waiting for Ameen alone. Why? Because when you bring people to give sermons, they will be talking about big things. Things that do not basically concern me. They said Israel is making their water. They are doing it. Let them make their water. They want to cause rain to fall. Israeli control of time.